Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We have begun to examine the first problem that Paul takes up in his first epistle to the Corinthians. And it is a problem of divisions in the church. And the problem is introduced in verse 10, and it is dealt with rather extensively through verse 17, although it will pop up several times over the next couple of chapters because, well, it has long tentacles. It has a long reach, and it actually affects other areas of life in the church. And that is the truth, isn't it? This is not a new problem, or maybe I should put it this way. This old problem that we find in the Corinthian church has not gone away, and it is a very common problem today. And so it will be very helpful for us to learn what we can from the Apostle Paul. Now, verse 10 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." The appeal that Paul makes to them, as we saw in the broadcast previously, is a rather interesting one because it's a mixture of sternness and softness. Paul does not neglect to remind them of his authority in Christ, the authority that has been given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, but nevertheless, he doesn't treat them as underlings. He doesn't beat them or berate them. He pleads with them. He earnestly begs them. He calls them brethren. He appeals to them to recognize their problem and to deal with it. And then he tells us in the next few lines what it is that he's concerned about and what he wants to see accomplished. He wants to see everyone speaking the same thing. He wants to see no divisions in the church. He wants everyone to be of the same judgment. And so with this kind of language, he describes what is concerning him and what he'd like to see happen as a result of his raising this concern. And that's where we left off our examination yesterday, and we'll take it up today, which is Tuesday, April 6. We're thankful that the Lord enabled us to get together today by means of radio, and we're very grateful for those whom God has used to help us supply the finances necessary to carry on this ministry. Well, all speak the same thing, no divisions, and so forth, and as we asked on the broadcast yesterday, does this mean that Paul expects unanimous agreement about everything? The answer is clearly no. And we have to keep in mind, and this is a general rule for all of our Bible study, we have to keep in mind that when we're looking at a small section of Scripture, in this case we're looking at one verse, although we'll go on from there, but we're looking at one verse, at verse 10, and we're seeing what Paul says here. The question is, is he demanding absolute lockstep agreement about everything? And the answer is no. And you say, well, I can't really see anything in this verse that makes it clear that that's not what he's looking for, though I did point out a couple of hints in the text from the study yesterday. But the broader context makes that clear. And the best way to understand that Paul is not asking for lockstep uniformity of thought in every area of church life is to look what he says in the rest of the book, and particularly those sections that deal with Christian liberty, where he makes it clear that there are some things about which Christians may have differing opinions, and that's acceptable. We have liberty to partake of certain things and liberty to refrain. And neither position is right, neither position is wrong. They are legitimate positions within the body of Christ. Some may choose to partake, some may choose to refrain. The partakers should not be critical of the refrainers, and the refrainers should not be critical of the partakers. And that's a very important lesson to learn, and that's a hard one for a lot of people to learn, but, and we'll get to that in due time, but that makes it clear that Paul is not demanding lockstep uniformity here. Well, what's he looking for? He's looking for agreement on basic Christian doctrine and agreement on the way that Christians are to behave with one another, how they are to love one another, and to deal kindly with one another. And that's it. But how do you reach this goal of behaving in this kind, brotherly, agreeable way? How do you reach this goal? And we get a good indication of that by this phrase, be perfectly joined together. I read again verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Perfectly joined together, and it turns out that that phrase, as and I just, of course, read it from an English translation, but the Greek words that is that are behind it, the Greek word, really, that is behind it, is a medical term. It is used of mending broken bones, or in the Gospels, of mending torn and broken fishing nets. So to be perfectly joined together basically means to have all of the breaks and injuries healed. And how does that happen? Well, that happens by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When people are, if I could use the phrase, out of joint, a lot of bad things happen. Physically speaking, if you've got a bone that's out of joint, it's very painful, and it will make it difficult for you to behave graciously toward other people. You're in pain. You are injured. You are hurting. You need to be tended to. You need to have some mending take place. If you have a broken bone, and most of you probably have had one at one time or another, I certainly have. And when you have a broken bone, it can be exceedingly painful. I can remember a couple of occasions when I had broken bones and how painful it was. One time, I broke something early in the morning. I was a boy of about 12, broke something early in the morning. I delivered morning papers before breakfast, and so I injured myself. It turned out that I broke my wrist. I didn't know what I'd broken, but I knew something was wrong, and I remember still today, this would go back more than 60 years, but I still remember today how agonizingly long I had to wait sitting in the living room of my home with this throbbing arm as my mother had to wait until our family doctor's office opened. She had to call the doctor and tell them of the problem and then arranged to bring me in, and he assessed it accurately and took care of it and put it in a cast. I don't remember all the details, but what I remember most is sitting there for, I suppose, at maybe an hour and a half. I don't remember how long, but it seemed like forever because I hurt so badly. Now, turn that same idea over into the spiritual realm and think about how people's lives, people's spiritual condition, people's souls are badly damaged by sin, and how that causes so many problems. So many of the divisions, in fact, I guess I would be accurate to say all of the divisions, the ungodly divisions, the unrighteous divisions, all of the wrong divisions in the body of Christ can be traced back to sin, one way or another. And in many cases, what you've got are people who are hurting spiritually. They're hurting in their souls because there are damaged areas that sin has caused that have not yet been fully healed. You do understand, don't you, that when you're saved, you are completely justified before the judgment bar of God. You are as righteous as Jesus Christ himself. But that's before the judgment bar of God. But here in this life, you are not yet there. You are in the process of being made that way. Your behavior, your spiritual life is going to catch up with what God has pronounced you in Christ Jesus, perfectly righteous, but you haven't reached that development yet. You have been pronounced righteous in the courtroom of God in heaven above, and you can't become any more righteous in that legal sense of justification. You are completely 100% righteous, just as perfectly righteous as Jesus Christ. That's what your record shows in heaven, but your reality upon earth is that you haven't caught up to that yet. And so every member of the body of Christ has spiritual wounds, spiritual broken bones, if we could put it that way, that need to be mended. And these are the things that create the friction, the difficulties, the problems between us and other people, the body of Christ. When everybody's got some of these things, all of us have some of them. When everybody has some of these things and we rub each other the wrong way at a point of spiritual injury, a spiritual issue that has not yet been fully addressed and healed and fully sanctified by the work of God's Spirit, then it produces some problems. So what's the solution so that these divisions can be dealt with? The solution is that you be perfectly joined together, that you be perfectly mended. How does that happen? Well, in one sense, it never does. It's always a work in progress until we get to heaven. But we can make a lot of progress on it, and it is as the Word of God ministers to our souls, and we respond to it in faith, and we deal with the issues that God's Word shows us, and the healing takes place, and we become more healthy spiritually. Then we relate better to one another in the body of Christ, and we find that these divisions become less frequent and less significant. It's amazing how well we can get along with one another in the body of Christ when you have truly spiritually minded Christians who are healthy and are endeavoring to get along together in the body of Christ. Well, we'll come back tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.